Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our lives. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
In Jesus' precious name. Tonight, I want to complete the teaching I began on Sunday. We are doing two series. On Sundays, we are running a series called Harnessing Your Divine Abilities. And on Tuesdays, we are looking at the doctrine of the last days. These teachings are very instructive and very necessary for the times. And so I encourage you, listen to it again and get imparted by the life that is flowing through that revelation. It will really prepare you, equip and empower you for the now. Tonight, I want to round up what I started. This teaching basically is an unveiling of spiritual mysteries and strategies that make for your advantage while you walk through time. We have developed ourselves, our human side, so much that sometimes when you begin to engage people, the excellence, the expertise, and the sophistication you will collide with will so marvel you. You will be so wowed just talking to some people for 5 minutes. The depth of their intellect, the vastness of their understanding, the dexterity in their communication will reveal to you that these persons are truly developed and fortified in the natural. In fact, it has become part of our developmental process to train children in a well-structured academic program. From primary schools to secondary schools to universities, and then you have IT programs, you have trainee programs, all to prepare them in harnessing and utilizing their natural abilities. And to a very large extent, many have demonstrated so much of that ability. You can see that in the area of sports. You can see that in the academics or in the academia. You can see that in media. So much talent harnessed. So much excellence demonstrated. Sometimes when I watch these gymnastic people, some of the gymnasts that go for Olympics, you are wondering whether their body is rubber. Because they've trained for years. And so somebody can open the leg, and the leg will not just be straight, but it will be curved. You are wondering what happened to that bone. That bone has been conditioned for many years. And you see a man turning and twisting in the air like a rubber band, feeling no pain, rather enjoying it himself because of the level and the degree of training exposed to. But you see, when you come to the spirit where our true advantage is, you will hardly find people who have gained so much perfection and mastery in the exercise of their divine ability. And we are not just created as natural beings. I started sharing with you last week. I said one of the reasons we must harness our spiritual abilities is because God created us as a hybrid creature. We are human and we are divine. Paul was speaking in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. He said, this is the mystery of the age. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, Paul was speaking and he said, whoever is joined to the Lord, he said, he is one spirit with him. So we are connected and infused so much to Christ that we have been made one with him. No matter how developed our natural or human sides appear to look, if there is no commensurate development in our divine side, we are grossly deficient because we will be operating below the standard of our design. We were designed as hybrid beings to manifest our humanity and also to manifest our divinity. So the first reason why manifesting, harnessing and manifesting our divine ability is a must is because we were designed so. And so when God looks at a successful man, he doesn't judge him because he has ascended the cadres of natural qualifications alone. He also checks that man to see his strength and his weight in the spirit. And that's why Paul was speaking, or John rather. He said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. So your inward part should develop as much as the externals are developing. The second reason we must advance our divine side is because we are not dealing only with men. If you are dealing only with men, the one with the best certificate or the best natural advantage will have the edge. But you see, the game we are involved in, spirits are the captains. We are walking with spirits and we are also contending with spirits. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, but against, not demons. Oh. I always like to give the difference between demons and princes. Demons are not princes. Demons are servant spirits. Now, there are many who have not even been able to deal with demons. And the Bible is saying, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6, from verse 11, 12 to 18. It said, but against principalities and powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Imagine a man speaking by the Holy Spirit. And is calling another spirit who is a counter spirit, a ruler. Does that not suggest to you that you need a lot of fortification to stand there? That's why before he started, he said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And he said, put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand all the fiery darts of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So if our dealings were to be with men alone, our natural abilities would have sufficed. But our dealing also cuts into the spirit realm. And some of these spirits are called powers. Some of them are called rulers. And others are called wickedness. Now, when a spirit is called wickedness, it means the way he derives pleasure is by wickedness. So that spirit, if he's laughing, it means somebody is crying. If he's celebrating, it means somebody is dying. Those are the kinds of princes that are participating in the journey of purpose. How can you now go just as a man if you don't have your spiritual propensities activated? Why do you think God took time to invest so much divine possibilities in you? Because he knows that you are in the league of spirits. And you will need an awakening of your possibilities in order to conquer. And finally, the reason your divine side must be activated is simply because if you are only a man, you will be a slave. You will be a slave of men and of spirits. So because of your nature, your divine possibilities must find expression. Because of your battles and your warfares, your divine possibilities must find expression. And because it takes something superhuman to reign, your divine possibilities must find expression. And last week, I gave you six of them. And there are so many. But these were the six basic ones I decided to list. Because I felt every believer should be able to walk and manifest these basic ones. Number one, I spoke about eternal life. I said the life of God is already on your inside. Now, if you are living only by your biological life, you will be limited and it will not be God's fault. Because right here where you are, there are three lives at work in you at the same time. There's the animal life in you called the bios, which is in your blood. Leviticus 17 verse 11, it said the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's why when a hand is cut off, that hand keeps shaking for a while. So long as blood is there, life can be trapped and sustained there. That's why blood is used for atonement, because there is life in the blood. And so when atonement is done, life is exchanged. The second life you have is the solid life. It's called Sukkah. The Bible said in Genesis 2 verse 7 that when God formed the man from the dust, he blew into his nostrils and the man became a living soul. The third type of life in you is called the Zoe life. That's the God life. It's in your spirit. Until a man begins to maximize Zoe, he cannot be a champion in the realms of spirits. Because Zoe life brings us to the class of God. It makes us operate like gods in any realm we find ourselves. And so the apostles took out time to teach extensively on the subject of eternal life. Jesus beginning it and the apostles continued. John was speaking in 1 John chapter 5 from verse 11. He said, this is the record. This is not a feeling. This is a record in the heavens. He said, this record is that we have received the life of God. And he said, this life is in his Son. He said, whoever believes in the Son or whoever has the Son, he said, he has this life. And he said, these things I have written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. And the whole idea about eternal life is to bring you to the God class. I told you on Sunday, you are not here because you have a suit. You are here because you have the animal life. If you like, put a suit on a baboon. He will never sit here. You can't even call it he. You will call it it. Because it's not in the human class. So, a naked man has more value than a decorated baboon. Because of the quality of life he has. Are you following? So the life brings you to the God class. And then you function from the God class. And I also spoke about the faith of the Son of God. The Bible speaking. It said we have received the faith of the Son of God. In fact, Jesus started teaching it in Mark 11, 22. And he said, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. And he gave us the reason why that was necessary in that same scripture. In verse 23, he said, if a mountain is before you, he said, your answer will not come from God. It will come from your faith. Because what the God kind of faith does is that it empowers you to begin to operate like God. He said, don't speak to God. He said, speak to the mountain and tell the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away. If you do not doubt in your heart, he said, you will have whatsoever you say. So your answer is at the mercy of your faith. So when you find men failing, they are not failing because God does not love them. They are actually failing because they have not tapped into the potentials of their faith. I went further to also tell you that you have an anointing from God. The Bible said you have an unction from the Holy Spirit. And that anointing empowers you to represent God in your world. Acts 1:8, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So, you are actually not called to represent yourself. You are not called to represent your family. You are not even called to represent your nation. You are actually called to represent God. Your family and your nation are platforms that gives you legitimacy to represent God in the league of men. Are you following? Now, if you will represent God, then you better have what God has. You better have God's capacity to be able to represent God. Otherwise, you will be a bad and a poor representation. In order for you to effectively represent God, what he did was to put his spirit upon you. And he put it in the same way he put it on Christ. In Acts 10:38, they say how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 1:8, it said, God, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. So the same way Jesus received the Holy Ghost and power, that's how we also receive the Holy Ghost and power. And this is why in John 14:12, Jesus said, the works that I do, he said, you shall do also. And he said, even greater works. Because now, I will be talking to the Father on your behalf. So you even have an advantage over Jesus. Because when Jesus was on earth, there was no intercessor to the Father on his account. Now that he has gone to heaven, the Holy Ghost is on your life. And Jesus said he is going to be interceding to the Father on your behalf. So you have a double advantage because of the operation of the anointing. And it goes on and on and on. The question therefore is, why are Christians still vulnerable? Why are Christians still disadvantaged? Why are Christians still not making progress? Because Christians are still identifying themselves only after their humanity. When you ask a man, who are you? He will give you all his natural credentials. He will never mention his spiritual credentials. I am this. I studied this. I'm a this. I'm a that. Who are you? My name is Michael. I'm a lawyer. I'm an engineer. I'm a doctor. I studied in Harvard. I'm working with the government. All of those things are good, but they are your natural credentials. When next they ask you, who are you? Say, I'm the representative of Christ on earth. Who are you? I'm the carrier of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Who are you? I embody the life of God and I express it at will. Who are you? See, did you see what Paul said? Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God, not by my credentials. Paul is a lawyer. Paul was trained by Gamaliel. He was the best student in his generation, and he was trained by the best teacher. Paul was eloquent, an erudite scholar. But Paul said, I am what I am, not by my legal certificate, but by the grace of God that is on my life. Because the grace of God will not take away your humanity. It will rather breed upon your humanity and make it, animate it to operate at the frequency of your divinity. Who are you? Some will even boast and tell you, do you know who I am? And when you say, who are you? They'll say, I know the president. And so what? The moment it is 12 midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., all of us will sleep like a dead man. Like dead men, all of us. And the next day, God wakes all of us up. And then you stand up, you say, you know this. And this same president you are bragging with, tomorrow somebody will go and gossip to the president and say, you are the one who did this, this. And the president will say, don't come to my office again. And the man who is hitting his chest and say, do you know who I am? Suddenly we tell you, this world, this life. But you see, the Bible said, for those of us who are connected to God, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So instead of defining myself by human affiliations or human credentials, I would rather define myself by my divine credentials. Paul said, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. If you have all of this, one of your preoccupations as a man should be your desire and deliberate attempt to harness it. If you harness your divine abilities, hear what the Bible says. It says, Gentiles will come to your light. It says, kings will come to the brightness of your rising. That king that somebody else is boasting that he knows will be the one looking for you. Because you carry something that even kings are looking for. It becomes the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. That's what God has given to every one of us. But we have not harnessed. We have not harnessed our divine abilities. Thank God for your natural abilities. Keep them. They are precious. But over and above that, you must wear
your mantles in the spirit. In Romans 13:14, he said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no occasion for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for your credentials. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on. Don't be known only by your natural antecedents. There is something divine about you. And it's time for your generation to begin to see you and address you by those divine abilities. And so tonight, in addition to the 10 I gave you last week, I give you 8 more ways of harnessing your divine abilities. Is that Mommy Ushoba? Ah! Celebrate this woman of God. Mama, please come to the front. Let her sit on my seat. My God. That's one of my mothers. Ah! This is a pleasant surprise. Those days when we were looking for God in the caves of Makodi. This woman is a direct descendant of Bensi the Dahosa. They can do 200 days vigil. 200 days. I'm not saying when she was young. Those days, we will do vigil until we will be tired. She will still continue. She will sit down and pray all night. Pray all night. And then after a while, she will call us home and prepare some solid meals. Because there is divine, there is natural. One of our strong encouragements, and she's a mother indeed. Till date, she prays for me. Till date. Can we celebrate Mommy Osheuba? Her type is rare. I tell you, her type, her kind is rare. Her kind is rare. She is truly a mother. I'm so honored to have you. I didn't know she was coming. I would have picked her up myself. Thank you, Mom. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. I'm now remembering those days. She will call me and say, my son, where are you? I say, Kai, today the thing hard. She will say, come to the house, come to the house. They will buy goat meat and prepare pocho for you. You will sit down there and have some good time. And then when you finish, you say, this night, there's vigil. I celebrate you, ma. Today is Father's Day, boy. You are celebrated. Hallelujah. And so, 8 ways, quickly, of harnessing your divine abilities. Number one is by prayer. By prayer. I'm trying to keep it calm so that I can say a lot of things. I have so much to say. If I need to just highlight them, it's fine. I'll just highlight them and the Holy Ghost will give us understanding. If we don't pray, we will be natural. One of the mechanisms of awakening every divine element on our inside is the mechanism of prayer. And this is why the moment the Holy Ghost came, the first thing the Holy Ghost began to do was prayer. The first thing. Because without prayer, there can be no awakening of spiritual graces. The moment the Holy Ghost came, Acts 2 from verse 1, it said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it said they were gathered together in one accord. And suddenly, it said they heard a sound as of a mighty rushing wind. And it said it sat on their head, cloven tongues as of fire. And the first thing they began to do was to pray. Because spiritual graces, spiritual dimensions, spiritual possibilities will never manifest except as prayer is laid as a foundation. The Holy Ghost, again, the Bible said, helpeth our infirmities. Romans 8:26. But how does it help our infirmities? It is still by this technology of prayer. It said, we do not know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit Himself helpeth our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so the way the Holy Ghost shuts down our weaknesses and awakens our divine propensities is by a prayer that is so deep sometimes that words cannot comprehend. No wonder Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, he said, I will pray in the Spirit. I will also pray in my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. I will also pray in my understanding. In 1 Corinthians 14, 18, he said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. No wonder the man was a spectacle to his generation. He knew the secret of living supernaturally round the clock. They were beings of prayer. When you start praying, four things will begin to happen to you that awakens your propensities. Number one, the prayer will begin to stir your spirit, man. It's like charging your spirit. You know, your battery can have a lot of potentials. Your phone, you can browse with it. You can make calls with it. You can even use the touchlight on your phone. But if the battery is dead, the phone is useless. The moment you connect it to electricity, something happens. Energy begins to enter the phone. When the phone becomes charged, every potential is awoken. That's what prayer does. And that's what Jude taught us. In Jude verse 20, it says, you dearly beloved, the word building up yourself is the word charging up yourself. It says charging up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So a moment a man begins to pray in the Spirit, he is charging himself so that his potentials that are already installed in Christ can begin to find expression. This is why you can prophesy, but you have never prophesied. This is why you should heal the sick, but you have never healed the sick. This is why you have divine favor, so much so that any door should open to you, but that favor has not activated. You have divine wisdom to lead a generation in the direction that they should go, but that wisdom will still be dormant because the charging has not taken place. The first thing prayer does that makes prayer very vital in spiritual awakening is the stirring potentials of prayer. And this is why I have taught prayer almost all my years of teaching in ministry. I teach it because I know if a man cannot pray, you can't help him. If you like, teach him doctrine from morning till night. At best, he will become a theologian. What connects that man to the spirit dimension is when the elements of prayer are activated. You know, recently I was teaching and correcting some of the excesses in prayer. And some people were saying, that's good, that's good. I said, but before you say that is good, hope you are praying. Because the people who are praying are better than you who is not praying and saying that's good. At least pray first before you talk about praying right. The reason they are not doing it right is probably because they are young and youthful. But it's better that they are praying than you who is not praying, who is using doctrine to shape how prayer should be made. You are in trouble. You are in trouble. The first thing prayer does is to stare or to charge you. The second thing prayer does is to open you up to the realm of the voice of God. The moment a man begins to pray, he begins to hear and he begins to see. He begins to connect with the dimensions of God. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. He said, call upon me and I will answer. And he didn't stop there. After I have answered, he said, now I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Great and mighty things. So God is not only answering your needs. When you start praying, he connects you to his realm. So the reason a man operates divine is because he is drawing inspiration from another realm. The glory of the moon is its connection to the sun. Disconnect the moon from the sun, it becomes useless. So when you find a man operating like a god on the earth, it's because he's vitally connected to God. God is showing him. God is talking to him. Even Jesus himself said, the works that I do is what I see my Father do that I do. So when Jesus lays hands on a man and eyes open, when Jesus commands and mountains move, it's because he's seeing something you are not seeing. He's hearing something you are not hearing. The moment you start praying, you too begin to see and hear those things. That's what brings you to precision. That's what brings you to empowerment. In Acts 10, from verse 8 to 14, we saw that Peter was hungry, but he still went up to pray. Because he knew there are different types of hunger. If I don't pray, I become useless. And while he was praying, he saw a sheet descending from heaven. And a voice came and said, arise, kill and eat. He would have been limited by his wrong doctrine. He said, I have not touched anything that is unholy. He said, don't call unholy that which I have cleansed. Arise, kill and eat. He argued for 3 times. And he would have missed out on the greatest honor of his calling. To open the door of ministry to the Gentiles. Until before the vision lifted, the voice of God now told him, 2 men are waiting for you, go with them. So Peter didn't go with them because he was smart. He didn't go with them because he was wise. He went with them because he heard. So when you see people's life, a mystery and a wonder, it's because of what they are seeing and hearing. And the place to see and hear is on the altar of prayer. The third thing prayer will do for you to make you harness your divine side is that prayer will saturate you with the presence of God. In Psalm 91, from verse 1 to 2, hear what the Bible said. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Can you imagine? It's not him that visited. It's him that dwelleth there. Him that makes prayer a lifestyle. He said, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say of his God, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Immediately, the supernatural opened. It is in this same scripture. He said, 1,000 shall fall by my side. 10,000 by my right hand. He shall not come near me because the Lord has become his shepherd. The Lord has become his fortress. He said, even the Most High has become my habitation. So that man lives perpetually under the presence of God. What was the wonder in Moses' life? It was the presence. The Bible said in Exodus 13, 21 and 22, it said, the Shekinah went with them in the day and in the night. Anything they did worked. Even their shoes were growing with them. Their clothes did not grow weary. They had food to eat. They had everything they need. So the whole testimony of the supernatural life in the wilderness was a function of the presence. But the presence is generated in the place of prayer. When you sit there, the cloud will come. When you sit, the cloud will definitely come. And we saw it in the life of Moses. Sometimes Moses will ascend the mountain and he will wait for 8 days until the cloud descends. In Matthew 17 verse 2 and 3, we saw the same thing happen with Jesus. The Bible said, as he prayed, he said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. And the Bible said, they saw a cloud descended and covered him. And in that cloud stood Moses and Elijah. So Jesus knew the technology of harnessing the presence under which every supernatural possibility takes place. If a man is not praying, he will be dry of the presence of God. And if he's dry of the presence of God, his divine propensity will not wake up. This thing is not about a cliche. It's not about how you talk or how you act. It's about what you carry. If you don't carry the presence, shout, it won't work. Act like a man who carries it and mimic him exactly. It will not work. But when you carry it, anything you do works. You see Benihim throwing suit. It's not about the suit. It's about the presence. If he throws the suit, the same thing will happen. If he waves his hand, the same thing will happen. Even if he waves his leg, the same thing will happen. Because the power is not in the activity. It's in the presence. And so when a man knows this secret, he kills himself on the altar. Lord, it's either you show up or I die here. I wish I had time to share with you 3 testimonies. Testimonies. You know, my biggest testimonies are not even the things God is doing. They are the things he carried us through. The things he carried us through. There was a period of my life where for 5 years, every day, 6 to 6, we are on fasting. Alone in the room, looking for nobody. That's why I became used to not having friends. My wife will tell you, I can enter my house and I'll be there for 3 months. I check what we are doing. If it's in order, I'm just on my own there. I can be there for 2 years. I will not miss what is happening in the market. I will not miss what is happening in the stadium. I will not miss anything. I'm used to staying alone with God. And it took years of isolation to come there. You see Jesus early in the morning, Mark 1:35. He goes to a solitary place. He prays. And the next thing, he enters the city. Blind eyes are opening. You are now watching how they command blind eyes to open. You are now, you said, because he said, out. You too, you come. You say, out. When the demon slapped you. Where is the canopy of the presence? That's what people follow, not you. Nobody was following Moses. They were following the presence. That's why when the presence stopped, they stopped. When the presence starts moving, they start moving. It was not about Moses, and Moses himself knew. So God said, go. My angel will go to you. He said, we will not live here. If your presence does not go with us, we go nowhere. People are in ministry. They are using strategies and principles. Do you think is that your principle? That we tell a man to stand up at from home and drive 1 hour to come for your meeting. Sit down and go back home. Some people reach their houses here 11 p.m. Some 12 midnight. And the next Sunday they come back. You think it's because you are speaking English? You think it's because you are wearing a suit? You think it's because you are talking grammar? It is an atmosphere. There is something here that their soul connects to. And so when they come, that thing gives them life. That thing awakens them. That thing opens them up. They can see their future when they are sitting there because there is a router in the spirit. When the presence goes down, the ministry ends. If your life preaches the same message you were preaching, nobody will come. They don't come because of what you are saying. They come because of who is around. And the one who is around is the monarch of the universe. It's Christ himself, the King of glory. When he comes like a mother hen, he opens his feather and covers us. That's why even when your message does not make sense, people are blessed. Even them don't know why. It's the presence, the Shekinah. He went with them as a pillar of cloud by day. He went with them as a pillar of fire by night. And so long as it was there, he said he gave a commandment in the spirit. He rebuked kings for their sakes. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. He sent his word to them and healed them and delivered them from all their oppression. He said their sandals did not grow weary. Their garments did not grow weary. He said every one of them were strong. There was none feeble amongst their tribes. Hear this. Carry the presence to your shop and see what will happen there. The drama. Everybody will be looking for your products. Everybody will be looking for you. They won't know why. Because the glory of God is hanging there. Carry it to your career and see the supernatural growth, promotions that you will enjoy. Because when the presence of God is there, you must prosper. He said, thou will show me the path of life. Where is the path of life? In thy presence. In thy presence. And he said, it's not just a path. He said, there is fullness of joy. And there is your right hand. And he said, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The psalmist knew the secret. David fought 66 battles. He didn't lose one. And then you ask him, what is the secret? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou, the presence. He said, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You don't only prosper when your enemies die. When God is with you, your enemies will be there, you will still be rising. They will be angry, you will be rising. They will curse you, you will be rising. They will be bitter against you, you will be rising. They will die, you will still be rising. Because the one that matters is with you. The presence. The presence. Man's greatest asset. He said, when the king of Moab saw Israel coming,
He was afraid because he heard the news that any city they walk through, they lick it up. And what did he do? He went and called a prophet who doubles as a diviner. The Bible said, whoever he curses is cursed. Whoever he blesses is blessed. That is his record. And this guy, if he wants to prophesy and it doesn't work, he switches to divination. By all means, he must get it done. Lo and behold, he erected an altar. He tried, it didn't work. He erected another altar. He tried, it didn't work. When he met Balak, he now told him, there's no enchantment against Israel. There's no divination. He's not saying you cannot enchant Israel. He's saying where we get enchantment from, when you call Israel, it doesn't appear. Enchantment is lost. The wisdom for curse vanishes. There's no divination against them. I entered the website. The website was empty because I brought the name of Israel. But why was the power so? He said, because the shout of the king is in their midst. When you know this, you will stop praying some prayers. Because the devil will fail. You succeed on arrival. Because you don't come alone. You came with an entourage. Your entourage will paralyze the enemy. Your entourage will discomfit the enemy. Your entourage will shut them down. And so sometimes when you are walking, people look at you. They think you are alone. But while you are yet coming, the King of Glory is coming with you. The angels of hosts are coming with you. The spirit of judgment made perfect are coming with you. So when you talk with the strength of many. You will never be barren of the presence again. Sit down. Prayer. You now see only divine dimensions manifesting. A man is preaching a message, or a man is addressing people, cancer is vanishing. A man is talking to people, job opportunities are opening, appointment letters are coming, doors of nations are open. You are asking, who is he talking to? By what power? Somebody is just promoted. Somebody just receives an alert. How? You have come under a web. And that web captures the totality of God's possibilities. It's called the presence. The fourth thing that makes prayer awakens your divine dimension is because prayer causes you to sustain spiritual mindedness. A man who doesn't pray will be carnal. Prayer is a spiritual exercise, and the most spiritual, I dare to say so. He said in Romans 8:9, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if you want to operate in life, you must sustain spiritual mindedness. But how do you awaken that mentality? It's by prayer. The moment you start praying, everything shifts. Everything shifts. Everything shifts. And that's why those who are carnal can't pray. But the moment a man starts growing in spirituality, prayer becomes his second nature. Because it awakens the consciousness of the spiritual realm. Paul was speaking in Colossians 3, from verse 1 to 3. He said, if you say you are dead with Christ, he said, let your affection be on the things that are above, where Christ dwells. He said, for our life is hid in Christ and Christ in God. So when you start praying, you begin to shift your affection to the things that are above. So spiritual mindedness is awoken. That spiritual mindedness is the bandwidth through which the resources of life flows. And so you find a man who wants to harness his divine possibilities. Prayer will stop being the assignment of the prayer group and the intercessors. You think Paul was foolish? Thank God for those who are praying for you. Thank God for those who are praying for the ministry. But their prayer cannot make you spiritually minded. It's your own prayer that will make you spiritually minded. And until you become spiritually minded, the resources of life cannot flow through you. So the fourth thing that makes prayer a vital tool in awakening your divine abilities is that it makes you spiritually minded. And spiritual mindedness is what makes you receive all God has given to you and also to manifest it
Carnal mindedness is what makes it impossible for you to access what God has given to you. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, "We have not received the spirit that is of this world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God." And in verse 14, he said, can you project that scripture so that they see? Verse 14, it said, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So if you are not spiritual, you can't discern spiritual things. Sometimes you look at people God is using, you think they are the real blessings. You will be joking. There are many persons who have not woken up, that if they were to wake up, everybody on the scene will be doing rehearsal waiting for them. Everybody. You will be so shocked that somebody currently who is still in the beer parlor is the apostle that will deliver Europe. You will be so shocked. All of us going there now, we may just be preparing the road for him. But it will take an awakening. And that's why the first functionaries God sent, their job is to awaken people. And then suddenly you see a lion come out of the claw and becomes an apostolic giant. He can shut down government because of the authority that he commands. But if that man does not wake up, he will remain there. Prayer is an awakener. It stirs God in you. It builds you up. It causes you to hear. It saturates you with God's presence. And finally, it triggers metamorphosis. Men transform when they pray. Because when you pray, you see, I quoted already Jeremiah 33 verse 3. He said, "Ask me, I will answer. I will show you." And part of the things he shows you are his dimensions. And that's why Romans 3, 1 Corinthians 3:18 said that we all with open faces, beholding. It is the gospel that opens your face, but it is prayer that beholds. There are two different things. The Bible says when we turn to Christ, the veil is removed. So the gospel removes the veil, but it's prayer that focuses on Christ. And as you behold, the Bible said you are changed from one level of glory to another level of glory. Because in Christ, the glory is already on you. But for you to manifest that glory in ever-increasing propensity, you have to keep beholding in prayer. So prayer triggers spiritual transformation and metamorphosis. Five things. It stirs you up. It causes you to hear God. It saturates you with the presence. It triggers spiritual mindedness. And it provokes spiritual metamorphosis. You cannot pray and remain the way you are. It's impossible. When you start praying and praying correctly, it will show. You don't need to tell anybody you are an intercessor. When we were introduced to prayer, it began to show. I can tell you that every phase of my transition, I met a prayer man. Every phase. Thank God for the doctrine, as powerful as they are. Prayer is the fire that comes upon the world. If that fire doesn't come, you will never burn. I can tell you every phase. Every phase. It took prayer to enter there. And the moment you start praying, you don't need to announce it. It's only Pharisees that pray for people to see them. Witnesses is their manifestations that show they are praying. When you come, the demons know what you carry. They can perceive the presence. Circumstances bow to men that have authority. When you talk, there will be a shift. You don't need to act a drama in public. Talk. If things happen, we will know where you are coming from. And if things are not happening, no matter the drama you are acting, we still know where you are. Because prayer is what makes the difference. It brings you to different cadres in the spirit. And you function from those heights of glory. The second way to harness your spiritual abilities is through the knowledge of God. You want to begin to harness the divine potentials you carry, then you must grow in the knowledge of God. I didn't say grow in understanding of doctrine. Doctrines are important. They give us boundaries of our possibilities. They shape our value systems. They guide us on how to keep the principles and the oracles of God. But spiritual transformation is an organic reality. That's why many theologians who are masters of doctrine don't have any dimension of God in their life. They can only argue and write textbooks and come up with scholastic debates, We need them because they are gatekeepers. Without them, they are certain apologies from the dark world that will undermine Christianity. And because many are not spiritual, Christianity will become history. So we love the apologies. We love the theologians. We love the experts of doctrine. We too know a little. However, beyond all of that mental knowledge, for you to walk in your spiritual dimensions, you must know God by experience. You know what John said in 1 John chapter 1 from verse 1? He said that which was from the beginning, which we heard, they taught us. He said we now looked upon and our hands handled of the word of life. It was when they handled that they became witnesses. They have now known by experience. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, he said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertains to life and godliness. But he tied it to a key. He said, it is through the knowledge, the epignosis, the experience that you have with God. If you don't have an experience with God, you cannot manifest your spiritual propensities. It is your experience with God that determines the extent to which you manifest what God has made available. Through the epignosis of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. And so Peter was speaking. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Grow in grace. So the key to grow in grace, the key to grow in faith, the key to grow in power, the key to grow in the anointing, the key to grow in righteousness is the knowledge, the experiential knowledge of him that has called you to glory and virtue. In 1 Corinthians 15:34, it says, awake unto righteousness. It says, not many know the Lord. Not many. There are many who are doing many things, but not many know the Lord. And when you don't have spiritual knowledge, you know what happens to you? Your mind becomes vain. Ephesians 4:17 and 18, hear what the Bible said. It said, do not walk as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. He said, these ones, they have their understanding darkened. And so they can no longer participate in the commonwealth of Israel. He said, but you have not so learned Christ. So a man who has learned Christ will not have his understanding darkened. The man who has his understanding darkened have not learned Christ. He has not experienced Christ. But he who has experienced Christ, something happens to him. In verse 24, he said he is renewed in the spirit of his mind to walk in righteousness and true holiness. So he begins to handle the oracles of God. He begins to move in the dimensions of God. Spiritual knowledge. Anything that helps you acquire spiritual knowledge, stay there. Prayer is one of them. I've spoken about it. Study and meditation of the word is one of them. Worship is one of them. Anything that opens you to God, stay there. If you want to manifest your divine possibilities, you must know God by experience. And all of us have different gates. There are those who, the moment they start praying, the Holy Ghost starts teaching them. So when they want to learn God, they lock themselves, pray, and they carry their notes and sit down. And God begins to teach them from within. There are many, if they want to learn the ways of God, they go to a solitary place. They can carry Isaiah and read it in 3 days. And they are reading and praying in tongues. Kakatokapa, parakapa, sata. As they are sleeping, God will show up and begin to teach them what was written. And they come out a new version of themselves. There are those who, for them to know God, they must be alone in the place of worship. As the sound is traveling, their spirit it becomes like a mist, and it ascends with the sound into the corridors of God. And their spirit begins to touch God so experientially, they can sense the ambience of the spiritual environment they have gone to. You will see them worshiping and their bodies begin to burn. You will see them worshiping, visions open. You will see them worshiping, direction, instruction, rebuke, all begins to come. So for them, worship is not a good song they enjoy. Worship is a means of traveling. If you find a corridor that brings you divine knowledge, sit there. Like Abraham, the Bible said, at the heat of the day, he sat at the gate of Mamre. He sat there. It was in sitting at the gate that Abraham has visions. And on one occasion, in Genesis 18 verse 1, as he sat there, he said he saw three men passing. He knew, at this time, men don't pass. They disguised themselves as men. He knew that only God uses this way at this time. And he stood up, he said, sir, please come in. He said, no, we are in a hurry. He said, sir, even if it's to wash your feet, come and wash. They came in, he said, quickly, prepare something for them to eat. And immediately God began to speak. Where is your wife, Sarah? How can you see a stranger and you say, my Lord? The man knows where he was. And the traffic that happens here is divine. He said, in the next time of life, your wife, Sarah, will be with child. Sarah laughed. And God said, your wife laughed. And she came out quickly. Who invited you to this conversation? How did you know they were talking about you? He said, no, I didn't laugh. He said, but you laughed. He said, but don't worry. We will work on this laughter and create something out of it. So the child became laughter. And when he was going, he now began to open Abraham to deeper secrets. He said, I've heard the cry of iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I'm going there to destroy it. And Abraham began to dialogue. Things that only immortals are permitted to do. What? How can the righteous God destroy both the righteous and the unjust? He said, have mercy on me. Don't be angry with me. What if you find 50 righteous men? So when Abraham comes to tell you how to negotiate for nations, it's not a doctrine, no. It's a place. It's a reality of a realm. It's a protocol in a dimension. What if you find 50 righteous men? He said, if I find 50 righteous men, I will spare the land. Let my Lord not be angry with me. What if you find 45? What if you find 40? What if you find 30? He now stopped at 10. You don't know how men become mighty with God. It is experiential knowledge. Things that cannot be taught. But they can only be known when you are sent into the realms of God. That's how you harness your possibilities in God. Number three, how do you harness your divine ability? You know, last Sunday it was very easy. Command. People were shouting. Speak with boldness. You know, these things are complex because they are different heights. There's a height where, you know, somebody can be barren and is due to biological issues. So when you give a commandment, hormones are reorganized, cells are reprogrammed, and the person gives birth. The same person can be barren, a demon is involved. And when you command, the demon goes. The same person can be barren, and a principality is standing there. And say, the child this woman will give birth to is the king that will destroy our agenda. So her barrenness is a contention in the realm of princes. If you come there carelessly and you command the way you commanded because of biological problem or demonic issue, you will be shocked. You can give that commandment and when you come out, your car will just catch fire. And they said they don't know. They just saw the car burning. You say, what? My car? You are looking for who did it. Nobody did it. They sent a wind of fire. They sent it to tell you that the corridors you are coming, it's a corridor for warriors and princes. And here, if your life is not clean, you can't stand. You will come home and their house will be on fire. They say the house girl wanted to on matches. It's not about matches, though. A prince blew on the fire. The same issues, but different operation. That's why when we teach the basics, we come a bit complex. Because these things, they begin from somewhere, but they go far and they go deep. You have to know God for yourself. And that's why I keep telling people, this church system of prophesying from January to December, you will never be enlisted in the army of God. You will never be part of God's agenda because your rank in the kingdom is a function of your experience with God. It's where you are standing with God that will determine where you will stand in His army. Make no mistakes about it. You receive prophecy from January to December, they will happen, but you'll be a child. God will never recruit you like that. Knowledge. Number three. You want to harness your divine possibilities. Consciously build virtue. Consciously build virtues.
unconsciously. You know, many people think prayer begins and power begins and ends with prayer. When you start learning the ways of prayer, you will learn something. There are certain powers and dimensions God will never allow you walk in until you learn patience. Patience, as simple as patience is. Because if God allows you walk in that authority, somebody can just offend you and you will curse him and his lineage. And because God has brought you there, if you say it, it will happen. And so because God does not want you to destroy destinies, if you like, sleep on the mountain for 10 years, you will never see that power. Until you have built that virtue called patience. There are certain dimensions of God you will never see until you build compassion. Compassion. Because when men are dying, you think it's about performance. People are dying. People are hopelessly going through circumstances. But you are using their situation to create an impression for people to think your ministry is working. There's no compassion. There's no connection with the people. You will never see those dimensions. Don't you know some of us began with white suit? See Pastor Chris with white suit. See Benny Hinn with white suit. We too started with white suit. I know what I went through to get a white Sancho's. It must be a Sancho's. And then we walk into the meeting. You don't even smile. You put your lips together. You see people who are demonized. You do like this. Why you are doing like this? You are. If the cameraman doesn't catch it, you are in trouble. Few people will fall down. Then you now walk to the person on which here. When you carry him, he will fall back. Carry him, he will fall back. Because what you want to do is to have a clip they put online and say, another evangelist have risen. Meanwhile, these men are doing this thing. They are weeping because of compassion. You have not learned compassion and you want to conduct a power that only compassion can carry. Because you think it's a show. Somebody is dying of pain. You are acting drama. And God will look at you and say, he's a boy. He's not yet ready. Give him 10 years. Because he thinks this thing is a drama. He thinks it's a charade. We are trying to rescue destinies that are under the shackles of the devil. You are coming to act drama because you don't know the stakes that are involved. They are rescuing men from the mouth of the lion. You think it's about appearance and coordination. We changed our grammar, palmed our hair. Oh, you didn't meet me when I was palming my hair. Ah, you came late. You came late. Those days, my hair will be palmed to the back. Palmed. And then when we walk in a certain way, like men of God. When I discovered, I went back and said, Lord, help this heart of stone. Help this iron heart. Help me, help me, help me. I think this thing is a show. Help me, help me. I need compassion. Because this power, only compassion can wield it. There are certain power that only love can wield it. People come to you, they have no school fees, they are crying. You say, well, you see, it's not easy. But God will help. And God is looking at you. So you think the money they give is to say, my ministry is doing well. We have 300 million in our account. Eh? Other ministries are struggling. Pastor comes and says, sir, I can't even pay students' school fees. You say, Jesus is Lord. And God is seeing your heart. Where is the love? You have a church. You have 5 branches. Somebody else is being driven away from the little, hut he's doing service under. And you are not moved to support him. Because you don't know what the body of Christ is. And then you think God will authorize you in the body of Christ. No, it doesn't work like that. When God begins to teach you this thing, you will know the dynamics of divine abilities. You will know them. You will manifest a dimension of love and suddenly the power to raise the dead will just come upon you. Even you will not be able to teach it because you won't know where you got it from. You will show a level of compassion and suddenly the authority to start a business that can employ 50,000 people will come upon you. And it will come with favor, it will come with wisdom. You will just know what to do. You won't know how because God has seen your heart. That the compassion that is in this heart, if I empower him, I would have saved 50,000 people who are homeless. So the authority is not about revelation. It's not about prayer power. It's about virtue. And so when men know how to harness God, they begin to grow consciously in building virtue. Teach me patience. Teach me endurance. Teach me compassion. Teach me mercy. Teach me love. Teach me kindness. And as you are growing in virtue, your rod in the spirit will be growing. Your rod, it will be growing. And you will wonder, somebody else who prays 10 times more than you, we wonder why you are manifesting God more than him, because God can trust you. Ask my people, they will tell you. We were raising money so that we can build our own auditorium. That same month, more than 10 ministries came, they were stranded. The money that was given to us to go and start our own church, the least we gave them was 1 million. Because at least we have a roof, they don't have. And God sees it. He said, now I can empower you. And find out the men that are doing wonders for God. This is their life. This is their way. This is what they do. They build virtue. Sometimes when you meet some of these great men, you will be expecting to see some very powerful people. You will now see them meek, humble, and simple like cats. And then you are wondering, where is the power now? I thought when I come here, I will see some... You will be shocked. You are hoping to see a rigid military formation and a general comes before you and say, how are you doing? You will now come and see a man who is humble and simple, easy going, and you are wondering, what is this? That's the secret of the power. That's the key of the power. When I drove past, I came to Abuja first and I drove past the glory dome. I said, where do the people come from? I now began to prank myself. I said, if this man dashed me this building now, what will I do with it? I now told myself, you don't have capacity. You know what? The money for the diesel alone can build an auditorium that I will use comfortably. And even if I have money for diesel, the people, see all the people that are here, the altar and glory dome can carry them. Only the altar. I told myself, don't desire what is bigger than you. The altar can carry all our membership. Only the altar. I said, how do these people come here? I said, no, let me see this man. There's something he carries. When I went to see him, he was more humble than me. He was more simple than me. He was more gentle than me. I now say, we have not gone anywhere. We are this sophisticated. How can we now reach here? God told me, the key is virtue. Learn virtue. Grow in virtue. And you will see things will wake up in you that you have not even grown in their revelation. Things will wake up in you that some you don't even have the consecration to power. Go and meet those of you who are music ministers. Meet people like Nathaniel Bassi. Meet people like Dunsin. You will be shocked. You will now discover this thing is not about voice. It's about virtue. People that have entered everywhere, gone everywhere, they are more humble and simple than those who are starting. A music minister who is starting now, you call him and say, I see my manager. There's nothing wrong with order. But if that's the mindset you came with, you're about to die. Out of my belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living waters. Out of my belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living waters. Sit down. These things I'm teaching you, they are simple, but they are powerful. In any sphere God has put you, he can raise you. But your rising is dependent on the strength of your virtue. Because that's the only way God can trust you. Because the things God looks at in men, it's not their revelation. He's not fascinated by your revelation.
Everything you know came from him. But your virtue is a proof that what you have known, you have begun to apply. And so when God sees mercy, there is a power he credits to you because of mercy. Or he allows you to walk in because of mercy. When he sees love in you, there is a power he allows you walk in because of love. When he sees kindness in you, patience in you, there is a power he allows you walk in because of patience. Look at this scripture. Matthew 14 verse 14. The Bible said Jesus saw the multitude coming. And he said he was moved with compassion. And he said he healed them all. The power that healed the many sick people was compassion. In Luke 8:46, the Bible said the woman touched him, virtue left him, and healed her. So these virtues can become power flowing out of you. The virtue, first of all, is the basis for the action. Then the virtue itself is translated to the power. Revelations are good. Prayer is good. I've taught it. But grow in virtue. When you grow in virtue, you will start ascending in the cadre of authority. Number four, how do you harness and express your divine abilities? Is by constantly engaging a dimension that you have caught. If you have started prophesying, prophesy every day. If you have started seeing the sick healed, pray for the sick every day. If you have started receiving strategy for investments, for business, for government, write them down every day. Push them with audacity. Any dimension you have caught, if you leave it, it will become blunt. The reason many don't grow or harness what they have is because they catch one today. They use it for 1 week. They dump it. They start looking for another one. If it is the ability to teach the word of God, keep teaching it faithfully. At least maintain that arrow in your quiver until God adds another one. A dimension you lose is a sign that you don't qualify for another. And so God will see the way you handle the little he has given you. He said, don't give holy things to swine. He said, they will trample it underfoot. They won't value it. God gives you the ability to pray, the ability to teach the word, the ability to counsel people. People are heartbroken, they come to you. You counsel them and they are relieved. And then you say, no, what we are looking for is to raise the dead. Benson, the host is no more. We are the ones here. No! That passion is good, sir. But don't lose the one you have. Constantly engage what you already have. Sharpen it. Become the best in it. When God sees your faithfulness in that one, he will open another door for you. In 1 Timothy 4:14, he said to Timothy, he said, fan to flame the gift of God that is in you. Fan it to flame. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, he said, do not neglect the gift of God that was put in you by the laying on of the hands of the elders. Fan it to flame, don't neglect it. In fact, in James 2:19, he said, thou believest that there's only one God. He said, thou doest well. He said, the devil also believes and trembles. He said, but O ye vain man, knoweth not that faith without works is dead. In verse 26, he said, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Anything God has given to you, don't lose it. You will shut the door against your own rising. Master it, engage it, keep at it. One day, that little thing will open the door for many other things. Constantly engage. Number four, learn to receive from those who have what you don't have. Sometimes the reason we cannot open ourselves up to more of God is pride. Some people here think that it's only fathers of faith that can give them things. Only fathers of faith. Jesus was activated by John the Baptist. Jesus was not just a bigger prophet. Jesus was creator. John the Baptist was creation. He said, suffer it to be so for now. He said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. This is a generation where somebody will be operating like you because he shows that he's drinking from you, but he will never accept. And people will look at you and say, this person, you are like this.
We are colleagues.
Pride. And so God is seeing it. You will remain there for a long time. Anybody that has what you need is higher than you in that order. Humble yourself and receive it. If it's a father of faith, fine. If it's somebody that is in your class, fine. Receive it. The Bible speaking, hear what it says. In Matthew 25 verse 9, it says, go to them that have and buy. When they touch you, when they pray for you, when they prophesy over you, they activate it. Buy does not mean you can buy these things with money. But there are ways of purchasing these things. It can be through honor. It can be through service. It can be through learning. It can be through fellowship. But by all means, identify those who have those dimensions. Honor them. It will rub off on you. If you find a man who is doing well in business, connect to that unction. Honor him. If you have the opportunity, serve. Or learn from what he shares so that you become. You have somebody doing well in the corridor of power. Learn, honor, serve, and become. Because there are many things in you that God will not allow you walk in. Because he wants you to pass the test of humility first. And the only way he can do it is to put it in somebody that you think you are better than. If you want to walk in it, you must humble yourself. And if you don't humble yourself, he will have it, you will never have it. Because when it comes to God, all of us are humble. I mean, you cannot but be humble. You mess up, it takes your breath. It dictates where you go to. So, I mean, it's foolishness not to be humble before God. So God is not moved when you are humble before him. It's good, great. But when God wants to truly see your depth of humility, he will direct you to another man. When he met Paul, he sent him to Ananias. Go to the city, you'll be told what to do. Paul humbled himself. When Ananias came, he said, brother Saul. He said, well, if you choose to call me brother, I'm brother. But I'm blind. I want to see. You stand up, you say, can you imagine? Because I went for his meeting. He didn't call me apostle. He didn't call me prophet. Nothing will come on your head, though. You will have it in your spirit, but you will never have it in manifestation. You want to open yourself to the possibilities of the kingdom. In Hebrews 6:4, the Bible said, follow them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, it said, the things you have received from me, it said, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. In Philippians 4:9, it said, the things you have heard from me, seen from me, learned from me, it said, the same do. So there are certain graces in your life that will take your connection to another man to activate. And God, if you like, go to heaven and come back. You won't walk in it. Paul met Jesus in glory. Nothing about the apostolic rested on him. Until Ananias came, spoke, scales fell off his eyes, started seeing. Immediately, apostolic ministry was born. Thank God for your encounters. But there are certain things God will insist only men can activate you into. So that the test of humility will be passed. Romans 1:11, it said, I long to see you that I may activate in you spiritual giftings, that in the end you might be established. I've told you before, there are things I've received from God, there are other things I receive from men. It was Bishop David Oedeko that opened me up to scriptures. I was listening and pop, I see a scripture, it sticks there. And many other scriptures begin to connect. I didn't know what was happening. Something was activated. Something was activated. It was Pastor Chris that awoken me to the supernatural. When I see him, something boils in my spirit. When I wanted to start chanting, I had to go to my friend Lawrence Oyo. I said, oh boy, this is the way you carry, I must collect her. Because this thing is Bluetooth. If it enters me, it will not stop in your own life. It's Bluetooth. He said, oh boy, I say, na lie. I've not started chanting in public because there's a process of learning. If I chant now, you start sleeping. But when I'm alone, I enjoy it. I enjoy myself. I cut it and I'm growing it. That's how it works. I met Dulce and I said, Kai, how do you connect with this father so easily and you are just receiving grace
receiving grace on your life. What people are praying for is happening with ease. I honor you. You say, leave me. I say, it's a lie. I honor you. I heard his leg, put my head there. I say, I honor. If not, you will struggle. Don't walk in something at the age of 90 that you should have walked in at 30. Of time. The last way to harness your divine possibilities is to lead by covenant. You find a man who is breaking into dimensions. It's covenant. There's nobody making impact in this world that's not a covenant keeper. It will wake you up to many things so rapidly you'll be shocked. The early church, for example, lived by covenant. Acts 2:46-47. He said they went from house to house breaking bread. They knew the covenant of the blood. They lived by it. In Acts 4:34, the Bible said those who were possessors of lands and properties sold them, brought the money to the apostles' feet. Even distribution was made. There was none among them that lacked. They knew the covenant of giving. They were doing it. You are wondering, why is the early church full of so much supernatural dimensions? They know covenants. They practice covenants. They live covenants. This is a generation where men are trying to break the ordinances of God. They undermine them. How can we be supernatural? Look at the fathers of old. They knew covenants. Genesis 14:18-21. Abraham was returning from the battle of the great kings. And he saw Melchizedek. He said Melchizedek brought him wine and bread. And he said Abraham gave him a tithe of all after he blessed him. They knew covenant. The question is, who taught Abraham those things? Because covenants are not an issue of law. Covenants are secrets of victory in the spirit. So the fathers of old tapped into it even before the law was given. Because these things are older than the law. We are here today arguing with theology. It's for law. It's not for law. Who was there law in the days of Abraham? He knew the power and the mystery of covenant. That spirit relates with you based on covenant. Why do you think God will not honor your relationship with that girl, even though you love her with all your heart, until covenant takes place? Because that's how spirits work. If you want to walk in supernatural dimensions, your life must be littered with covenant. That's what defines the age of the patriarchs. And even those who had not known God, that lived by covenant, God respected them. In Acts 10:1-4, we heard about Cornelius. The Bible said he was of the Italian band. This was a Gentile who had not salvation nor the Holy Spirit. He said this man's prayer and almsgiving had risen to heaven as a memorial. He was not saved, but the covenant was a memorial. God respected it. That's why the Bible commands in Psalm 74:20. He said, have respect unto the covenant. He said the dark places of the earth are the habitations of cruelty. You want to live above the power of cruelty? Have respect unto the covenant. Look at our fathers today who are making impact. They are not just preaching revelation from Bible. They have proofs. Proofs that have lasted for decades. And you'll check them. One consistent thing you will find in all of them is covenant practice. So you learn from the early church. You learn from the patriarchs. You learn from those who are making impact in your generation. Covenant practitioners, from the covenant of the blood to the covenants of finances and different other covenants that defined their consecrations. And so you want to harness the power of God that is in you. Prayer must be a must. You must constantly grow in the knowledge of God. You must consciously build virtues. You must continually engage dimensions that has opened in your spirit. And you must live by covenant. If you make this your way of life, there is no way you will not be a wonder to your generation. These are secrets
that great men stand upon. And you find their lives, come rain, come shine, they are excelling. They are doing well. I prophesy over someone tonight. Your life is about to change. Your life is about to shift to another level. I prophesy over someone tonight. Every stumbling block in your path, it has just been removed by the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Something is about to hit this place. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Matter what has existed in your bloodline. There are realities that are older than your ancestors. There are mysteries that are stronger than what your forefathers know. And so I'm not denying what is existing in your bloodline, but I come to you by a superior mystery. In the name of Jesus the Lord, I break every pattern in your bloodline. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I cancel every negative ordinance against you. Arise and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen over you. Whatever calling that is in your life, be it ministry, be it academics, be it government, in the name of Jesus, I release the powers for awakening now. I release those graces into your life now. Become a wonder to your generation. In the name of Jesus, pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Kabaraka. Seke paroka patatani. Sabaka tabaria tamanak. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hear this. It's time to reprogram destinies. There are some of you here. Listen, there's a program over your bloodline that men will wear rags all their lives because glory can never manifest there. I see now there is a lineage here that have been struck with madness. In the name of Jesus, by the power of God, I cancel every ordinance that has plagued your destiny. I cancel every ordinance that have plagued your bloodline. In the name of Jesus, come out now. Come out now. Come out now. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We worship you. We hail you. We hail you. We hail you. We hail you, we hail you, hail you. My God, my God, I'm out of time. Hear this. I'm seeing something that looks like a river. And the Lord is telling me it's a prophetic heritage. And so there are some of you here that there is a calling of priesthood in your bloodline. But there has been a signature from the demonic realm that you will suffer pain, you will suffer stagnation, you will suffer disappointment until everyone that chooses to answer that call will run out of it by frustration. I come to you with the help of God. Wherever you are standing now, the fire of God descends upon you. And let those afflictions, those ordinances, those speakings of darkness, they are shattered in the name of Jesus. You will not run out of ministry by frustration. You will not run out of ministry because of pain. There is a power that raised up Jesus from the dead. By the hand of God, I decree now, your case has highlighted in the heavens. Let there be an emancipation now. Let there be an emancipation now. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing somebody carrying a yoke. It's like a heavy stone, but on it is written disappointments and disfavors. Anywhere you go, the door is shut against you. Everything is frustrated around you that you cannot even make any progress. And you have been laboring with your natural ability. But suddenly God stretches his hands in your direction. God stretches his hands in your direction. And he said, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's by the Spirit of the living God. And so in the name of Jesus, I command that yoke, break now. I command that weight, be lifted now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. My God. Bakurakahas. Zeverakondo paragata. Zekila paragisto fragadanas. Zapato fracte paragida. Baranda sobda kebalila paragata. Macrotonze paradiso. Rakibano sagrata paradas. Oh! Begrodo vakesinzo fragadanas. Lift your hands to whatever. The Lord is telling me now, he said, what I have given you, give to them. We don't do what we do because we are smart. We do what we do by the grace of God. And so there is about to be a wind blowing over you here. And even those who are online, listen, make no mistakes about it. What we have is making us and helping us make impact in ministry, but it's not limited to ministry. If you carry it wherever God plants you, it will work for you there. That's how it works. It's a one electricity that powers light, that powers heat, that powers air condition. It depends on your specification and where you are sent to. Everyone who is hungry for a shift now, everyone who is hungry for transitions, everyone who is hungry for a change of story, I stretch hands over you now. And I say, such as I carry, such as the Lord has put here, the anointings, the graces, the covenants, the consecrations, the powers, the dimensions, on ground and online, let that fire hit this hall now. Take it in the name of Jesus.
Holy Ghost fire, boy, everywhere. Oh, fire. Holy Ghost fire, boy.
On ground and online.
Holy Ghost fire.
Take that grace now.
Everywhere.
Zepato Parakida Zakala Savanata Rabaganos Rakatida Manta Papra Taperatinos Reketa
everywhere.
Hear me. Except I am not called, From tonight, every righteous endeavor that you are called into and you are participating in it, supernaturally, they begin to prosper in scales and propensities that cannot be quantified. Receive that grace now. Ah, warriors, custodians, keepers, watchers, I summon you by the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Please hear this. We are about to transit, but we are out of time. As you go home tonight, spend some time to pray. Something just started resting upon you, but you will need some time of incubation. But from this week, your life will take a supernatural turn. You have been known after the flesh, but now you will be known after the Spirit. You will be defined by supernatural possibilities. You took out time to come to seek God and to wait upon Him. As you return as a champion. I know it's not easy at this time. Even the subsidy alone makes it almost impossible to make out time to come. Some of you, it's your last card that brought you here. But hear this, as surely as the Lord liveth, your story has changed. You will never be the same again. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.